You're listening to a Mornings with Kelly and Steve podcast. Be sure to check us out every weekday morning from 6 to 9 on Moody Radio.
It is a Teaching Tuesday, and we are going to be chatting with Nancy Fitzgerald in just a moment.
That's right. But right now, it is a match. It's a pre-share match that we have going on right now. 10 gifts of $100 are going to be matched with an additional $100. We've already got people who are giving. We're looking for 10 gifts by 7:45. Can we do that? I'm going to let you know in just a few minutes where we stand, but we do want to get into our question here. But before we do, I just want to let you know you can call 800-600-9624 and give that pledge of a $100 gift. We're going to match that. We have a donor who has come alongside of us, wants to remain anonymous, but they are going to match those gifts of $100 with $100 more. So we can turn $1,000 into $2,000 with your participation. So would you continue to give? Give a gift of $100 and it's going to be matched. You can double your impact. We have 45 minutes to do it. We're going to let you know and sprinkle it throughout our biblical worldview question of the week, because we are going to be checking in right now to welcome Nancy Fitzgerald of Anchors Away Worldview Ministries to come alongside of us and help us understand. Truly, truly, Kelly, I must ask you, is it possible to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength?
You know, that's a great question, because I don't think I can do it of my own will or in my own strength, and my mind just is too easily distracted.
If there's anything I've learned, you can't get through anything, regardless of how big or small, without God's help.
That's right.
And truly, the Holy Spirit in us. We have no peace. Unless we do. Zero.
I know.
Because everything is out of our control.
I know.
It's craziness.
Nancy, what do you say?
I say ditto. For sure. I mean, interesting, though, that the idea of loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength is found in the Old Testament and the New Testament. As a matter of fact, in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 11, it was included in the Shema prayer, which was spoken daily in Jewish tradition. So daily the Jews would pray this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and you shall walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. In other words, what we're seeing here is part of the Jewish tradition, very strong part, is that there were no ifs, ands, and buts about it. They were very visual. The Jews were very visual in the way they learned. And this is, you can just see this as primary importance. As a matter of fact, this prayer was so influential and important that Jesus used it. When he responded to a debate, if you remember in Mark 12, here when Jesus was there and there were people there asking questions, some trying to trip him up, and one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating, noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer. Yes, of all the commandments, which one is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There's no greater commandment than these. So here we see this very strong, it's not a suggestion, it is a command that says you must do this.
Okay, then let's get really specific about how we do that and get into scripture for that too, Nancy. How is it even possible for us then, as human beings, which are fallible and easily distracted, how is it possible for us to truly love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength?
Yeah, well, first of all, we can't. And there are some other commands Christ has given us, including the Ten Commandments, which was simply impossible for us in our fallen state to obey this command, and God knew it. And God alone is holy, and human beings are born sinners in need of a Savior. I think sometimes we need to be reminded of this. You know, we're guilty of breaking God's holy laws. We just are. We're enemies of God, according to Romans 5:6, deserving death, Romans 6:23. We are unrighteous, Romans 3:10, without means of justifying ourselves. In other words, there is no hope for us ourselves. Our hearts are deceitfully above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it, says Jeremiah. And the thing is, no human being with a fallen nature can continually love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's simply humanly impossible. And I think Jesus continually reminded the Jews, especially the Pharisees, of their inability to be able to keep God's law, be it the Ten Commandments or the other commandments that he gave. And what Jesus was trying to do, and I think this is so important we understand this, even in God's giving of the Ten Commandments, and here we see it again. He's trying to teach us and show us our spiritual demise and our need for a Savior, no matter how hard we try. Our abilities would never be enough to save us, and we have to understand in the Old Testament, going to temple or wherever they were going or reciting the religious things wasn't enough for God, as it isn't enough today for people to go to church and simply recite a prayer. That's not what this means. You know, we desperately need forgiveness for our sins, which can only come through faith in Christ's death and resurrection. And this is the whole point of this. Without the cleansing of sin that God provides in the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit who lives in us, in those who are redeemed, in those who have given their life to Christ, any degree of loving God is impossible. It just isn't. We cannot do this ourselves.
Well, Nancy, it takes a lot of trust for us to do that. It takes a lot of obedience for us to be able to even approach, and we have to set our sights on that. And we have Jesus as our model. But how do we reach that place where in our heart we are finally loving God and others in the ways that we should?
Yeah, I think it's so important for us to understand that all of us have placed our faith in Christ. We know we need to make significant changes that will come through time. Some of these are instant. You know, you hear of people doing a 180 and boom, they're on fire for the rest of their life. Most of us, you know, it's through a process. And breaking the change of habitual sin, and we all know what our own issues are, it involves knowing the scriptures and relying on the Holy Spirit to teach us and to guide us through the complex process of heart change. And we cannot, again, do this ourselves. But God has positioned us to be able to carry out this humanly impossible command. Paul writes so beautifully here, "So you must consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Jesus Christ." And then he goes on to say in Romans 6, "Consider yourself dead to sin." He is telling us to remember that in coming to Christ, the power of sin has been broken. This is what's so cool. Sin no longer has a grasp on us. We can choose not to sin. Finally, with the Holy Spirit in us, not only can we choose not to, we can follow through with that. And God will give us through the process and through patience. And sometimes it takes years to work this out. We are no longer slaves to sin. We do not have to cave in to the habitual sins of our life. And that is such great news. And that, all of a sudden, we can begin to see, wow, through Christ, through the Holy Spirit living in me, I do have the power to have life change. It's truly amazing, and it's not easy.
No, it's That's not easy. Sure. Yeah. You know, I want to talk a minute, Nancy, about the Apostle Paul, because I think a lot of us kind of look at him, especially, you know, as younger Christians, a lot of us, because I did this, look at him as the super apostle, something to really strive for. But that's where, you know, you kind of make a mistake, because you look at the Apostle Paul as being near perfect. So I have to be near perfect. But he struggled. And I think it's kind of an encouragement, really. And I'm thankful that this is in Scripture, because this shows us the grace of God and reminds us that, yes, even the Apostle Paul was human just like we were, and he did struggle with the problem of loving the Lord with all of his heart, his mind, his soul, and strength 24 hours a day. Mm-hmm. It's right there in Scripture. What does it tell us about Paul's struggle? Because this gives us hope too, Nancy, and reminds us we're not condemned for struggling.
Well, exactly, and I think the whole issue with this question, Kelly, is the attitude of the heart here. Am I going to do my own things and just throw a pence to God, or am I going to give everything to God? Even though our efforts might be futile, God will honor our effort and our heart desire to work through the Holy Spirit, work through this. That in God's mind is what matters here. And I just love this Romans 7, because we all can identify, those of us who just know that this is an impossible thing for us to do, but through Christ we can do all things. And Paul says here, "For I don't understand my own actions, for I don't do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law, and that's good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing." Boy, isn't this a struggle? Okay. "Now if I do what I don't want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close to at hand. For I delight in the law in my inner being, but I see my members, another law, waging war against the law in my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death?" And then he answers that right here. "Thanks be to God through Christ Jesus our Lord. So then I myself may serve the law of God with my mind. With my flesh I serve the law of sin." And here we see the Christian struggle against sin is one in which our ability does not match our desire. And this is the whole thing. With Christ living in us, we can have a pure desire serve Christ with everything in it, but we cannot do it without the power of the Holy Spirit living in us and through us. And Paul later says, "If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, who has raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." This is the great news. You know, not only does God give us a command we can't do, but He sends us a way that we can fulfill this command, and that is through God Himself, His Spirit living in us. It's such a beautiful thing that God in His holiness, you know, so desires to have a relationship with us that what seems impossible is impossible when we allow Christ through us, through His Spirit, to be able to love, Yes, we still sin, but man, it's such a beautiful story of God commanding us and then walking us through it. It's an amazing part of our faith and something that we should be so grateful for.
Well, Nancy, I'm starting to get a sense of this word surrender. Now that we have the Spirit mm-hmm. in us that dwells within us, how do we correctly view God's command to love Him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength? I imagine that we've got to submit to that Spirit, don't we?
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think so many Christians, you know, we've got our checklist. We've got to pray in the morning. Oh, yeah. You know, and then we got to do this, and we got to do that, and we'll tell people we'll pray for them, but we forget, and we don't have time for Scripture. I mean, you know, that we just are missing the mark here. And His command for us to love Him with all of the heart, mind, soul, and strength is simply not a checklist. It's, you know, it's this idea of when we believe in Christ, we become a new creation with a desire to know God and to follow Him, you know, not perfectly. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anybody is in Christ, a new creation has become. The old is gone and the new is here. And instead of living for ourselves, we embrace the life, living out our faith by loving God and loving and serving others. That's the heartbeat of a true Christian, a Christian who allows the Holy Spirit to work through him. Yes, we sin, but our desire, our heart desire, our very nature now as Christians is to spend time with Christ so we can carry out His will for our lives. If we don't spend time with Christ and allow the Holy Spirit to work through the Scriptures, how on earth will we know what God has in store with us this very day? And because God gave us the gift of grace in a position of righteousness, in other words, our sins are paid for and God is holy, so now He can have a relationship with us. The point being that in our humanness, bathed in the Holy Spirit, we can be that light to many who live in darkness. If we truly love Christ, people will see something different in us by the way we love, by our kindness, by our joy, and this is the thing. It's through Jesus's love, Jesus's kindness, Jesus's joy, you know, that we can then love with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength.
Yeah.
This is the beautiful thing. I mean, the pressure is really off us because we can't do it. But we invite Christ in to take over, and we begin to hear His voice as we read the Scriptures and be encouraged. It's amazing. And Peter writes in 1 Peter 4 how this might look. And he says this, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God might be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and domination forever and ever. Amen. Whoa, there it is right there. True Christ, we can do all things. And wow, I'm just so grateful for this question because it's perplexing. Why would God give us a command we can't fulfill on ourselves? Hmm. And the answer is because we can't. We have to rely on Him for this. And wow, if we could just remember this every day and ask God to take over, our lives would be different, I'll tell you, mine included.
I love those two words you just said, through Christ. And before that, a couple of minutes ago, the pressure is off us. I need to remember those. Those are the things that I can lose track of so quickly. And the enemy wants you to. He wants you to think all the pressure is on you. Yeah. And we fail.
And that, yes, and then Satan is right there to tell you what a failure you are.
And he's such a liar.
I know. And that's the thing. I mean, it's like, why bother? You're such a mess. You can't even concentrate while you're praying. You know, God can't use you. And you know, just Satan's voice getting in there, and we say, Lord, you know what? I can't do anything without you. I'm a hot mess. So I'm asking you to come in and live through me. And that is what God loves to hear. Hearing this. This idea of surrender that you were talking about, you know, just giving up ourselves and asking God to come in.
Well, and part of that then becomes this process of sanctification and understanding right. who we are and actually releasing yeah. that. And there is a great, I want to just encourage people to go to anchorsaway.org right now and look for the series Unanswered, Smoke, Mirrors, and God, because this gives you the bedrock foundation of understanding who we are in Christ,
yeah.
because this is going to help you understand your faith, which then in turn allows us to understand God's plan, which is to come into relationship with Jesus Christ, and then we submit, we obey, and we move forward, mm-hmm. and we grow in our spiritual yeah. walk. And that is all in the direction of how we love God with all our heart, strength, mind, yeah. and soul. Nancy, this has been awesome. Thank you so, so very much for spending time with us this morning.
Well, thank you. And it's something to remember, you know, it's the attitude of our heart.
It definitely is.
Once we get that set, then we're good. I mean, he's not looking for perfection here. He's looking for an attitude that says, God, I cannot do this without you. Come in and do this through me. And I think, again, religion gets in the way where we think we have to jump hoops, and God says, no.
Yeah.
You're one breath away from eternal life. So, you know, I think Satan wants us to be so confused and so discouraged. Mm-hmm. I just want to encourage everybody today that Christ is on your side. He's rooting for you. He's the best coach you'll ever have. And, you know, listen to him, and he'll be right there with you. He wants you to succeed more than you do. He wants you to just bathe in his presence for yeah. your own peace and joy. That's the thing. He's not punishing. He's blessing.
Yes, he is. I mean, the scriptures tell us while we were sinners, he died
That's
for us.
Right.
He didn't wait for us to get our acts together. He knew we couldn't do it without him. Nancy, thank you again for this. And Nancy's website, by the way, anchorsaway.org. Go over there, get the information, get plugged in. And if you want to hear this conversation again, a couple of ways you're going to be able to do it. You'll be able to pick this up as soon as we get it processed and over to Nancy. You'll be able to find it on her website, anchorsaway.org. And you can click on the resources tab on our website, kellyandsteve.org.
You're listening to Mornings with Kelly and Steve on Moody Radio, from the Word to Life.